I promise I'll be as quick as the Lord lets me. Oh, I can keep that one. Thank you, Lord. Well, listen, I do see new faces in the crowd today, and I see, when I say it this way, I don't mean anything by what. Let me say it this way. I see familiar faces that we haven't seen. I was going to say I see some old faces that we have, but that wasn't what I'm being. Glory. See, your words can get you in trouble. And so, right, Ray? Right, amen. Glory. But we do count it a privilege that you would come and spend Sunday morning with the Lord and with us. Amen? Want to talk to you this morning from some Old Testament scripture that pose this question, which just happens also to be my message title. Which God do you know? Which God do you know? And so I want you to turn to Isaiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Jump down to about verse 10. Have I done anything? Everything? I'm on track, right? My wife's not here. I'm as lost as Hogan's goat. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10. And if you're watching, hun, good morning. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. Verse 11. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are young. I don't know about you, but I picture through this scripture two gods. Not two gods, but two sides of one God. And that's why I pose the question, which God do you know? See, the prophet Isaiah described God's character with what sounds like a contradiction. And most people either know the God of verse 10 or they know the God of verse 11. And so this morning, God, as we look into Your Word, as we begin to preach this message, as we begin to receive from Your Holy Spirit today, God, what You're trying to get across, I pray, Lord, that You would help us to understand and to realize that both are true and that both are powerful. And so, Lord, this morning, cause this preacher to decrease, Lord, that You'd increase in me. God, I pray, Lord, that Your Word would go out and do exactly what You've called it forth to do today. And so I thank You, Lord. I need Your anointing. I need You to break every yoke off. You're the chain breaker, God, and I need every chain broken off of my life to declare Your Word, to preach Your Word. Lord, Your people need Your anointing this morning to receive, not from some preacher, but from Your Holy Spirit, Lord, today. And so, God, I thank You for it. I pray for every preacher in this city today that's declaring Your Word. God, that You would anoint them with the fire of the Holy Ghost to proclaim Your Word without question, without doubt, and without apology, Lord, to just preach the truth of Your Scripture in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. So again, the question that we are dealing with this morning is, which side of God's nature are you most familiar with? Verse 10 says, in verse 10, do you know the God who rolls up his sleeves, bares his powerful arm, slams it on the table and says, come on, people, get it together, live right. I don't know about the rest of you, but I hear that one a lot. Amen. Come on, preacher, get it together. If the preacher's dealing with it, I'm pretty sure some of you are. By the chuckles and the giggles and the smiles on your face, it's a dead giveaway. Hello. It's the truth. Isaiah says, behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense or his justice is before him. And church, we need to understand that salvation, blessing, and comfort are all associated with the coming of the Lord to his faithful people. Amen? And so we need to remember that he comes with power and with authority like a mighty ruler, yet his presence is more like that of a caring shepherd who is tending to his flock. Aren't you glad that he don't deal with you with an iron fist? I don't know about the rest of you, but I'd be a pile of powder by now. Aren't you glad that in John 10 and verse 11, he comes with power and with authority, but yet his presence is like the caring of a shepherd who's tending his lambs. And again, verse 11 of chapter 10, the book of John, the gospel. I am the good shepherd, he declares, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Aren't you glad that you are part of a flock that a shepherd would give his life to protect you, to ransom you, to redeem you when you're at your absolute worst? Let me remind you this morning that the scripture says, while we were yet his enemies, Christ died for us. While we were his enemies, I mean, maybe we weren't saying, well, I don't like God, maybe I hate God or any of that. We weren't in that place by and large, but just the fact that we didn't love him and didn't serve him and haven't given our life to him means we're in the opposite camp. And in that opposite camp, he still loved us. He still gave his life for us. He still knew everything about you and I. And when God said, where can I find a sacrifice? Jesus, obviously, being without sin, here am I, send me. So as described in the verses that follow through verse 18, there's four characteristics that this good shepherd set this good shepherd apart from the false or the evil shepherds. And I just want to briefly look at them. Number one, He approaches directly. In other words, he enters at the gate. He doesn't have to sneak in through the back door. He doesn't have to prowl around. He's the good shepherd. He comes right in through the gate. And he has God's authority. Aren't you glad that he's got God's authority? Let me take it a step further. You have God's authority as his child. The gatekeeper allows him to enter. Number three, he meets real needs. Some of you have real needs. In fact, all of you have real needs. But some of you haven't chose yet to offer those needs and present those needs before the only one that can handle those needs. And you'll deal with those needs until you offer them to him. Until you say, God, I'm tired of packing this thing around. Anybody packing anything around? Listen, this is church. We've got an altar here. If you need to repent a little bit later. We got needs, man. This preacher's got needs. I got needs that, God, you're going to have to take care of this or I'm in real trouble. And so, Lord, we just give. See, the sheep recognize his voice and follow him. I'm not a fan of sheep. some of you might already know that about me. I don't like sheep. Period. I don't like sheep. Sheep, you got to mess with sheep all the time. Sheep will fall down. They can't get back up. You got to help them up. You got to take them. They ain't smart enough to go from this pasture to that pasture. You got to take them. You know what? Cows, you just turn an old cow out and they pretty much just take care of themselves. You know what? I like cows. That's why I'm a cowboy. I've raised a few cows, and I prefer cows over sheep any day, whether in the field or on the table. I saw somebody almost spit coffee right there. That was good. Sheep will get away from you. You don't drive sheep. You drive cattle. You lead sheep. I'm glad we're watched over by a shepherd today and not a drover. A shepherd and not a drover. He won't beat you and I into submission. He won't get a horse and run us into a corral. He leads us. We should know His voice. He says, walk this way. We walk that way. This is the way. Walk. Don't turn to the left or the right, but listen to my still small voice. He meets real needs. Sheep recognize His voice and follow Him. And number four, He has sacrificial love. The truth is, He is willing to lay down His life for the sheep. He will put Himself between the bear and the lion and the sheep. He puts Himself between the enemy of our soul and our salvation and Himself. He is the Redeemer. He has redeemed you and I. He has purchased you and I by His shed blood and nothing more. You can't add anything to that. These truths should fill us as God's children with faith, hope, and a prayerful longing for His nearness and a special visitation while we look for the day of His return and a final redemption. Lord, come, come, Lord. I had a conversation yesterday about that day. Now, I'm not in a hurry to die. Hello? I am. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die to get there. I'm in that camp. I'm not in a big hurry to die, but can I just tell you, you don't know when it's coming. And He said, you better be ready when that day comes. It could be in the rapture. It could be through death. We don't know. Our community lost a loved one this last week. Went to work. Never came home from work. Just like that, a blood clot cut loose, went right up into her brain, and that's the end of it. She didn't know that going to work, or she'd have probably said some sweet things to her husband. Probably did anyway. They loved each other. They were in love with each other. But I'll bet you this, if she knew that was going to happen, she probably wouldn't even have went to work that day. Church, we do not know the day or the hour. He just said that we're to be ready. I'm looking for the day of His return. But I hope it's not today, because I've got family and loved ones and people that I'm ministering to that I'm hoping will come to the salvation of Jesus before that day. But if they don't, I've got to come to the place where I realize I've done my part to make sure that they know, and now it's on them. That's a hard reality. Rich and Jill are not here today because a brother-in-law in John Day was at work and was doing his job, and something went terribly wrong, and he got hung up in a piece of machinery, and as he was trying to get out, another guy saw him and he went in to try and help get him out, and both of them ended up being killed by the same piece of equipment at the same time. You don't know the day or the hour. I drive a log truck 12, 14 hours a day. sometimes haul big, heavy equipment, gets me put in crazy predicaments, doesn't it, John? John's a low boy driver too. He knows what I'm talking about. There are just those moments and those times when you're already in axle deep and you only got one option, and that's gas it. And hope and pray that you get through to the other side. I'm just being honest with you, church. You just don't know. We just don't know. I'm looking. You know what? I have to go to work every morning. John has to go to work every morning. You have to go to work every morning saying, look, if I don't never see my family again, I know where I'm going, and I've done my best to make sure they know where they're going. These truths ought to fill us as God's children with faith and hope and prayerful longing for His nearness. God, come and visit this place with a special visitation while we look for the day of Your return and our final redemption. Have you experienced that strong arm of God? Well, good. But if that's all you know, then be gripped by His other arm that is described in verse 11. He says He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms, and He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead them who are with young. I want to be in that group. I want to have the Lord carry me from place to place and make sure that I'm being nourished, that I'm cared for, all those kinds of things. God is a shepherd. He scoops up His lambs and He carries them close to Him. And like a shepherd, it says He will tend His flock, and His arm will gather the lambs, and He will carry them in His bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. How many of you have ever been this? How many of you have ever, let me say it this way. How many of you have ever gotten out of line with the Lord? Hello. Let me tell you what an old sheep herder told me one time. A shepherd of from right here in Douglas County, Brother Hadley. Maybe some of you would know Brother Hadley. He had a lot of sheep at one time, and he told me one time in Bible study at Sunday school that he was talking about these sheep and the Lord being the shepherd. And he said, you know, sometimes he said, you get a sheep that won't stay with the rest of them. He's always off running around, always out there getting in trouble. And of course, I thought he was talking about me, and he said, when you get one like that, he said, what you got to do is, he said, you just got to break his leg. I thought, well, that's comforting. That will teach you something. Yeah, he said, you just break their leg. But then he said, after you break their leg, you fix it, and then you carry that thing around with you until it heals. You've splinted it up, and you feed it, and you make sure it's nourished and it has water. And he said, by the time you put that sheep back with the rest of them, he stays where he's supposed to. He didn't just inflict pain to teach it something. He inflicted the pain and then mended it back to health and carried it along. Now, I'm not a sheep herder. I'm not a shepherd. I don't like sheep. I already told you that. I'm not worrying about breaking any of your legs. Lacey, you're going to be all right this morning. Well, biblically, you're a sheep. And all we like sheep, the Bible says, has gone astray, and we need a shepherd. And God is the shepherd. In other words, God provides special treatment for special needs. And at certain times, your shepherd would say, this one is hurting. Careful of his wounds. We're going to have to carry her for a while. His tender arm of God reminds us of His unique personal care for you and I. And Isaiah describes God's power to create and His provision to sustain and His presence to help. He is an ever-present help in our time of need. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 talks about it. We can come boldly before the great shepherd, right? and let our requests be made known, and let and find grace and mercy. That's what His Word says. He is almighty. He's all powerful. But even so, He cares for every one of you personally and individually. He knows every one of your needs, and He has the answer for you and I. If we'd just go to Him and let Him minister to us. He's almighty and all powerful, but He cares for us personally. No person or thing can be compared to God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 25 says, "To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal?" says the Holy One. Listen, we describe God the best we can with our limited knowledge and our limited language, but we only limit our understanding of Him and His power when we compare Him to what we can experience here on earth. Listen, so many times people compare God Almighty, God the Father, with our Father. God ain't like my dad. I love my dad, but God ain't like my dad. For one thing, my dad didn't know everything I did. He does now. But his outlook's different. We try and picture God in what we can relate to and what we've experienced here on earth. But in that day, in the day in which we live, there is certainly the need for some good news. And this morning, I happen to have some good news. How many of you are sick and tired of the news? I'm sick to death of the news. If there's been anything good about my wife being in Wisconsin, it's that I don't have to watch the news. I watch Gunsmoke and Bonanza. Hallelujah. Big Valley. Oh, glory to God. I do have to give her kudos, though. She hasn't been watching it very much lately. So that's good. But listen, here's the good news for today. The good news today is the defeat of sin and Satan by Jesus Christ and the salvation of all who will trust Him. The good news in that day was the defeat of Babylon and the release of the captive Jews. So to bring good tidings means to preach the good news. Listen, church, that's what I'm talking about. He has anointed me to preach good news. Ha ha! To bring good tidings. How many of you would like some good tidings this morning? I got a bunch of it. Our good news is different from their good news. The good news in their day was the defeat again of the Babylonians and the release of the captives. The good news today is the defeat of sin. Aren't you glad that today, because of what Jesus did, you and I don't have to live under sin anymore? Aren't you glad that Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "He ain't done with me yet." Woo! He who began a good work is faithful to complete it until the day of the return of the Lord. Listen, church, He ain't done with this fat preacher. And He ain't done with you neither. Because I can. You're so daggum cute. That's what it is. Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the..." Somebody needs to hear this morning. That I'm, as a representative of Jesus Christ, it's my job, my honor, my privilege to release you, to release you, to proclaim the liberty of the captives. You've been bound, you've been bound up in all this mess. I'm telling you, as God's representative, if you believe in Him, you can be released from that captivity. There ain't enough devils in hell can hold you back. to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Can I just tell you, 2021 is the acceptable year of the Lord. If you haven't accepted Him, today's your day. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. That's what he said. Joshua chapter 24, you can read about it. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Jesus reading from Isaiah chapter 61, the first two verses, Isaiah's words pictured the deliverance of Israel from exile in Babylon as the year of Jubilee. Listen, I may tell you, I wish we still had Jubilee. Hello. Jubilee was good. Jubilee, all your debts were canceled. All of them. Every debt you had was kept. The slaves were all released. Jubilee, when all debts were canceled, all the slaves were freed, all property returned to the original owners. But the release from the Babylonian exile had not brought the fulfillment that the people were expecting. They were still a conquered and oppressed people. Can I tell you something? If you're a child of God, you are no longer conquered. You are no longer to be oppressed. You're above and not beneath. You're the head and not the tail. I've been at the tail end and it's ugly back there. Isaiah was prophesying of a future messianic age, a time when one would come in the Spirit of the Lord and do many wonderful, wonderful things. And this passage offers a great expectation to an oppressed people. It gave them hope. It gave them something to look for. It gave them something to shoot for in the distant. And after reading, Jesus said this, "The scripture has come true today before your very eyes," and they missed. They missed it. Don't miss it. I'd a lot rather stand with the Lord and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by the Lord. Amen. Listen, when Jesus spoke these words, He was proclaiming Himself as the one who would bring this good news to pass. And as Jesus read this passage from Isaiah to the people in the synagogue, He stopped in the middle of chapter 61 and verse 2 after the words, "The time of the Lord's favor has come." And in the next phrase in verse 2, however, it is, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. What's that mean? Well, this is not going to be fulfilled until Jesus returns to earth. We are now under God's favor. His wrath is yet to come. Hello. We're living in the dispensation of grace. Hello. There's coming a time when the wrath of God is going to be poured out. And you might be pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. I don't know, but I'm going out on the first load. Glory. He gone. Amen. I don't care what you call it, just call me gone. Hey. That will preach. I don't even know where I'm at. God's arm. Second paragraph, right? Yeah. Got to have my helpers. God's arm is a mighty arm for winning the battle, according to chapter 40 and verse 10 of Isaiah. But it is also a loving arm for carrying His weary lambs. God is known as one who picks up an individual lamb in order to protect it and carry it close to His heart. I have a hunch He's been carrying me for a long time. Yeah. See, although God is all powerful and the nations are but dust before Him, He still cares for each of His own in a personal way. He don't care for me the way that He cares for Mike. He don't care for Mike the way that He cares for Glenn. He doesn't care for Glenn the way that He cares for Dennis or Ray or any of the rest of you. He cares for all of us the way we need to be cared for, in a very personal way. And we can never think that God is so majestic that He ignores the needs and the problems of the individual believer. He is mindful of every need you have. He's mindful. God has two arms. One's mighty and powerful, demanding holiness and righteousness, and one arm is tenderly caring for the weak and the wounded. Almighty and tender, one awesome God. One awesome God. It's amazing love. John, you could not have picked a better worship set. We started practicing, and John started singing that, whatever that song is about, I want to lift my hands up, but they're dirty, and I shouldn't even... That's exactly the way I feel most of the times. I've got stuff on me, and I feel like but that's the lie of the enemy. And God says, lift them to me, man. Lift them up. Worship me. I'll cleanse you through praise and worship. Almighty and tender. Let me. Is it really only 11:30? That ain't right, is it? Oh, I got another hour left. Glory. Hallelujah. I love daylight savings time. I can preach for hours. You don't even know it. I am going to try and close, though. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Starting in verse 14. I'm going to help some of you this morning. I'm going to help some of you watching by way of the internet today, I pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14 through verse 18. For if... See that word? If. That's one of the biggest words in all of Scripture. If. If. Because with the word if comes responsibility on your part and my part. Hello. For if we believe, which is saying that there are going to be those that don't believe that He rose. So there's condition here. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, by the way, I've been in the Garden of Gethsemane. I've stuck my head in the tomb where Jesus was at. I was in there. He is not there. He has risen. Amen. Glory to God. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, or dead is what it's talking about. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive, bam, shall be and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Ooh, that's going to be a good day. Woo! You're going to see this fat boy fly. Woo-hoo! Lord God, that's going to be a good day. Huh? Oh, Lord, I hope that the Lord gets me out of that log truck before that day, because that's going to be a beautiful truck crashed if I'm at work. Because I ain't going to be in it, and I ain't going to care. Just saying. He's gone. He is just gone. Comfort one another with these words. Paul explained to these believers that being dead or alive at the return of Christ does not make a difference. Christ is going to bring all His people together to be with Him forever. That's a long time. Glory to God. He is preparing a place, Ray, right now for us in glory. Instead of worrying, you and I ought to be encouraging one another with these words. Hey, guess what? God's building a house for me. He's building a house for you. We're going to live in the presence of the Most High God. No more tears. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you, that's going to be a great day. There ain't going to be 1 ounce of cancer in that place. There ain't going to be any unstable minds in that place. There ain't going to be any broken, crippled up bodies in that place. Sweetheart, it's all going to be brand spanking new. Woo! Glory to God. We're going to run and jump and shout and dance and scream and bow and bawl and squall. Actually, I don't think we're going to be doing much bawling, because there ain't going to be no tears. I just lied to the whole church right there. Lord, forgive me. Oh, my Lord. Encourage. Comfort one another. We're going to be with Him. Instead of worrying, we ought to be encouraging each other. Well, when do you think the Lord's going to come back? I don't know. My job is just be ready. Nobody is beyond God's power. No believer is going to be left out or forgotten. Even in the face of death, believers know that their Lord is ultimately triumphant. Even in the face of death. Paul said to encourage one another. Paul's words offer joy. They offer hope in times of trouble. And he bases his confidence on what God's done for us through Christ Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, church, and he does not need an editor. He just needs some people that will be obedient to what he has said in his word. Paul says, encourage one another. Anybody need joy? Anybody going through any kind of trouble? Anybody got stuff that you just can't seem to wrap your head around? I'm telling you, it's all going to disappear in that day. It's all going to go away. Why? Because of all that Christ has done for us. Our hope is not only for the future. Eternal life begins when we trust Christ and join the family of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I am an ambassador of the Most High God. I've been sent from a place to a place with all the power of the place that sent me, and God is all powerful. That's what you have. That's what I have. I'm all powerful. Woo! You hear what I'm saying? I'm not equal with God. Don't misunderstand me. Not one bit this morning. But I'm telling you, He said, I will endue you with dunamis. Power. Dynamite. I like blowing stuff up. It's a guy thing. Tannerite is the greatest thing that they've been created here of late. You just blow stuff up. When I was a kid, I'd have to get my dad's supply of black powder if I wanted to blow stuff up. And I wasn't real smart. You remember them big old drill bits my dad had? I would screw them with a crescent wrench because they were for like a brace bit, the old crank kind like that, and they had to, they're square and tapered on the end. And I'd take a crescent wrench and I'd screw them in the ground. And I'd pull them out and they'd pull a whole plug of it out and I'd pour a bunch of black powder in it. Whoo! All except for right at the top, right at the top. See, the thing is, there's a difference in the way black powder responds to fire and smokeless powder responds to fire. Kids, do not try this at home. You fill it with black powder because black powder, you touch a match to it and it, boom, it just explodes. Smokeless powder just burns. So that was my fuse. Yeah, I'd pour a little smokeless powder in there. I'd light that sucker and then I'd stand right on top of the hole. I told you I'm not real smart, but I'm still here to tell about it, so that's good. And the ground would go, poof. It was awesome. It was awesome. I got all my toes except for one that I almost chopped off, but other than that, we're good. Listen, dynamite, that kind of earth-moving power is what we have been given by the Holy Spirit. We have been endued with power to move stuff. There ought to be some things that we're standing on saying, I'll tell you right now, bless God, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Some of us need a little rumble under our feet. Woo! I'm grateful I'm still alive. Hello. I'll tell you. Listen, church, no matter what pain or trials that you and I face in life, we know it's not our final experience. There's something waiting for us on down the road, and eventually I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord forever, and I'm probably going to have to explain some things to my dad. Hopefully the Lord set him straight that, you know. Listen, church, you and I need to share these words of encouragement with others. We ourselves are built up to be built up and build one another up in our faith. The second coming of Christ is going to occur in God's timing. He alone brings it about. Christ, who is the Lord Himself, will descend from heaven. I'm going to make you shout. For that is where He's been ever since His resurrection. And He hadn't been just sitting around waiting for the Father to say, go get my children. He's been interceding on your behalf and mine at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and for me. Hallelujah. Woo! Because I'm going to tell you right now, the devil's been up there too. The accuser of the brethren. I got a whole laundry list of things against you, Mike. I'm being the devil right now, in case you didn't know that. And I'm going to tell your dad, your father, about all this stuff. Jesus said, I don't see that on mine. All I see is the blood. I have no record of that. You've been exonerated. You've been acquitted. There's nothing against you. Well, yeah, but what about... All I see is the blood. I see the slate's been washed clean. Now, I'm going to tell you, Christ's return is going to be unmistakable. Even the heathen are going to know He's been here. I don't know if it's true, but I've been told that airplane companies, you know, like United or Horizon Air or whatever, they won't let two Christians fly together in the cockpit. One of them has to be a non-believer. Because just in case us whacked out Christians got it right and the rapture happens, somebody's left on the plane to get the thing to the ground. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it makes good sense to me. I think that's thinking ahead. Not only is it thinking ahead, but it's them proclaiming something they don't even realize they're proclaiming, and that is that there is a God. And there really is something about this thing called the rapture. And Christ's return will be unmistakable. Nobody's going to miss it. He will descend with a shout, with the call of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Whether there are three different ways of referring to the one sound, or whether it happens simultaneously, or whether it happens in sequence, I don't know, and I don't care. All I know is, he gone. Woo! Amen. He just gone. These sounds will herald his return. The Bible says that the eastern sky is going to split and the Lord's going to step through. Woo! Hook and ride, cowboy, because you're out of here. That's going to be a good day. That's going to be a good day. Paul used distinctive imagery associated with the ends of time. The archangel is a high and holy angel appointed to a special task. And clearly the angelic host will be a part of this celebration of the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come and take you and I as His people home. A trumpet will blast and it will usher in the new heaven and the new earth. And the Jews would understand the significance of this because trumpets were always blown to signal the start of great festivals or other extraordinary events. We know it as the shofar. It's a ram's horn that is twisted. I've got one at the house. I can't blow it. If you're waiting on me to blow the alarm, you're going to be late. Amen. Just trust that the archangel has got it tuned up. Amen. John, come. No matter, church, no matter what pain or trial we face in this life, we know it's not our final experience. Those things that you're dealing with in your life every day, those things that come to your remembrance from time to time that cause you pain and anguish and trauma and all those kinds of things, that's not your final experience. God is going to bring a renewing. Eventually, you and I are going to live with Christ forever in His presence. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Pray, church. Somebody needed to hear this message. This pastor needed to preach this message to himself. There's coming a day. There's coming a day, church. With no heartache, no pain, no more parting over there, where forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day. Glorious day that'll be. There'll be no more tears in the eye, no more clouds to dim the sky. All is peace forevermore on the happy golden shore. What a day. Glorious day that'll be. How about you, church? How about you watching today by way of the internet? How about you with your head bowed in this place? What's that day going to be like for you? Do you have the same level of excitement that this bald-headed preacher has talking about the return of the Lord? Do you know that you know that you know that if He come right now, today, right this moment, do you know that you'd go and be with Him in heaven? Do you know that? I'm telling you today, you can know. And I'm telling you today, you need to know that. There's no other way to get raptured than to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the only way. You can't pay enough. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough good things. You can't do any of that kind of stuff. You have to have your name, period. That's the only qualifier, is you've got to be on the list. So I ask you this morning, are you on the list? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus? Let me put it to you this way. This is what Jesus said. The Bible says this. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. God made the declaration in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. He said, if you'll confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of all sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He said, I'll remember your sin no more forever. He said, I'll cast your sin and your iniquities as far as the east is from the west. Church, that's a long, long way. Remember the word? Remember the word I used earlier? The great big word that only has two letters? If. If. Just because you heard this message today does not qualify you for heaven. If you confess me, if you believe in your heart, if you repent. So here's the question. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People are praying. Your next door neighbor sitting right beside you is praying for you right now. There's a church that's praying for you right now today. Those of you that are watching around the world, possibly on the internet right now, I'm telling you, there are people that are praying for you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I made many, many references through my message this morning that He's a personal God. He cares for you in a personal way. He personally died for you. He personally is preparing a place for you. He personally loves you. If you've never accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, today's your day. Today's your day. Today, the Bible says, well, the Bible says it every day, but today I'm reminding you of what it says. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. He's knocking on your door right now. And it goes on to say, if you'll open the door, He will come in and sup with you and you with Him. And so I'm asking you today, if that's you, Jesus is knocking on your door. Will you open the door? And by opening the door, by raising your hand, it signifies that you're opening the door to your heart. If you're in this place today or watching by way of the internet today and you're opening the door, you're saying, God, I hear you knocking and I'm opening the door. If that's you, I want you to just slip your hand up in this place right now today. If that's you, you've never been saved, but today's your day. Anybody at all? If you're watching by way of the internet and you've got your hand up, I want you to make a comment on the place there. Make a comment. I see your hand. You can put it down. Make a comment on there and let us know. And we'll be praying with you. You can pray with us in just a minute. Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me. Anybody else? Maybe you're here today and you accepted the Lord at some point. Maybe it was in vacation Bible school, or maybe it was grandma drug you to church and you got saved in children's church, and the years have passed and things got in the way and life happened and all that kind of stuff, and you walked away from the Lord and you just got so busy. But today, You say, listen, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming back. I want to restore my relationship. I want to renew my relationship with you. David said, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Maybe that's your words today. God, restore me. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus today. Anybody in this place say, preacher, that's me. I want to rededicate my life. Put your hand up. Let me see. I see your hands. You can put them down. Somebody else say, preacher, that's me. If you're watching by way of the internet, just make us a little note there. Let us know. Anybody else? God's long-suffering. He's patient. I'm not in a big hurry. I already told you, I hope you don't have a roast in the oven because we could be late. Anybody else say, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. Listen, if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to do something crazy and come meet me right here at the front. You raise your hand, you can come right here and meet me right here, right now. Get up out of your chair. I can come get you, but I won't. Because this has to be a personal relationship. This is something you do personally today. Amen. Come on. Get over here. Get over here. Get over here. Come here, girl. Oh, bless your heart. Is that, come on, church. Can we not do better than that? Come on. Bless your heart, girl. Bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Proud of you. Listen, heaven is something that we ain't going to want to miss. I'm just telling you, I hope I painted a good picture of it for you today. I'm proud of you, young man. I am proud of you. You've been in and out, back and forth, up and down, but you're still in there. You're still plugging away. You're still fighting the fight, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of that boy. I'm proud of that boy. Oh, man. This is a good day. Do you know that the Bible says that when one gives their heart to the Lord, you raised your, and I'm not trying to embarrass you at all, but this is your first time. You raised your hand. You said, yeah, I want today to start a relationship. The Bible said the angels in heaven are rejoicing. They are jumping around from cloud to cloud, man. They are having a ball. Woo! They are partying. And there's a place being prepared for you in glory. That's God's Word says so. There's a place being prepared for you in glory. There's a place being prepared for you in glory. I want you to do this. I want you to just say this prayer with me right out loud. Right out loud. Say, dear Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. I ask you to wash me in your blood, to create in me a new heart, a clean heart. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Write my name in the Lamb's book of life, and I will serve you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Come on, church. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, man. We want to help you guys, and we want to help grow you into who God wants you to be. Listen. I don't sometimes know how to say stuff without sounding bad. So you just have to bear with me. But even in these late, I mean, we ain't old by any stretch, but we ain't as young as we once was either. Right? Glory. He ain't done with you. He created you for such a time as this. He's got a purpose and He's got a plan for your life. He wants to raise you up. He wants to grow you up into warriors for the Lord. Amen? And He's going to use you if you'll allow Him to. If you'll stay faithful to Him, if you'll get plugged in, and maybe even follow these kids in the water of baptism, just like they're going to do today. That God wants that for you. God wants you to be baptized. Amen? And so, We follow him in the waters out of obedience. It doesn't have any, you're just as saved as you're ever going to get right now. Amen. I mean, that prayer, you are as saved as you're going to get. There, you can't add nothing to it, any of that. Baptizing isn't going to help your salvation. It's just an outward expression of an inward change that took place in your life. Amen? And so I'm just grateful. Can you guys just minister to them a little bit and get these things filled out for us? And hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a pen there. You guys fill that out. Hallelujah. Listen, I know that you guys are here because these guys are getting baptized. Not necessarily, but I mean, do you want to help me? You can just maybe hold it under a little longer. I want you guys to come over here. We're gonna do this baptism right now, and then you guys can get this underway. I don't. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We'll get her. All right. Who's first? Okay, get the kids out here. We don't want them to miss this. Mama's going to go first. You got to wait till the babies come. It's warm, yes. It's warm. Sissy. Are they coming?
I'll just sit in here for a while. Warm.
Yeah. All right. Are they coming? All right. Here we go. Here they come. Look at that smile. My mama's getting baptized. Oh, Lord. Well, is he coming?
He's changing, I think.
He's changing? Well, for crying out loud. He didn't ask me could he change. Bear with us here just a moment. Let's listen. Mariah, you've been coming here for a while. And you've given your heart to the Lord. And there've been ups and downs. Just like with Thomas, there's been ins and outs, ups and downs, trials and tribulations. But understand that recently you both have made some decisions and some changes, some declarations of some changes that are coming in your life, and this is one of them. This is a mark in the sand. This is drawing a line in the sand, and we're gonna step over that line, and things are gonna be different from here on out. And things already are. You got anything you want to add?
I've been in church for a long time. I've had a lot of health struggles recently. But I've never felt God's love like I do right now. I never felt Him with me. I thought for years that I was alone. I never knew He was right there. Mm. I got that confirmation. I continue to get that confirmation. I have not felt the oppression, the depression, the worldly hurt is gone.
Come on now.
And this is my, I needed to do this again so that I could know that I can lean on Christ and I don't have to fall back to worldly things.
Right.
And that He's got a bigger purpose and a plan for my life and my family.
Come on now.
And I'm thankful for everybody here. So that's all I've got. Thank you very much.
Amen. Well, it is my distinct pleasure and privilege to baptize you today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And I just want you to know, as your pastor, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Sometimes we have to do it 4 or 5 times, it seems like, to get it right. But it's like I just told Thomas, you keep plugging away, you keep fighting it, you keep hitting it, you keep hitting it. And when we hit it one time enough, we get breakthrough and things begin to be different. The outlook's different, things are changing, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Oh, bless your heart. You want to plug your nose? Well, based on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Yes. Ah. Hallelujah. Got everything out of your pockets? Get in there. I'm going to hold you down until you tithe and say, bubble, and together we build. Thomas,
there you are.
You got a lot of family here. You got a lot of responsibility in these little babies right here. And I want you to know, as your pastor, that I'm proud of you for stepping up and stepping out and doing what God's called you to do in leading this family. Amen? As a godly dad, as a dad that is following the Lord in every aspect of your life. Amen? You got anything you want to say?
I just want to thank the church and my family for all being here and all the prayers that everybody's been doing for the last few years. It's really helped us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Thomas, based on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's my pleasure, my privilege, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? You want to plug your nose? Woo! Hallelujah. God is a good God, church. God is a good, good God. Woo! Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for the privilege of baptizing folks in out of obedience, Lord. And Father, we are grateful for lives that have been transformed today in these old altars, Lord God. Lord, I never get tired of praying that prayer with people, Lord. And I thank you that you have refreshed us and give us new hope today and new lives that have been transformed and changed. God, I pray your Holy Spirit gets on those people today, God, and that He never leaves them alone ever again. God, that you'll walk with them. In the quiet of the night, you'll whisper in their ears and you'll touch their hearts. You'll give them the desires of their heart as they line up with you. And Father, we're grateful for it. I thank you for every person here today, whether watching by way of the internet or seated in this house today, God. I pray your blessing upon each and every one. Watch over us. Keep us safe. Bring us back together on Wednesday. And then be with the youth group today as they meet right here. Lord, let our young people catch on fire for the things of God, Lord. That there will be mighty young men and women raised up, O God, to do battle on your behalf. And I thank you for it. I give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your day.